Shut up! The footy's over radio!
Triple M Footy starts your weekend early.
How good is footy?
With every massive moment.
When you're hot, you're hot!
This
couldn't be more excited.
Is the Thursday Rub.
Camel on down to Thirsty Camel bottle shops for unseriously good deals. Drink responsibly.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Well, round zero was nice, but the home of footy is where it's at. The Blues and the Tigers tonight in front of a crowd of 90,000 plus. If it wasn't back already, then footy definitely is back now. It is the Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel, and you can camel on down to Thirsty Camel bottle shops for unseriously good deals. Drink responsibly. Beautiful night for footy. Grass looks good after Taylor Swift. No complaints whatsoever. I'm Jack Heverin. Team assembled. And we start with a man who, on debut last week, it was the equivalent of punching out a century, the four-time premiership star, who went global all over social media, Isaac Smith, for the good and for the bad. Good to have you back for round one.
Good to be back. Good to be back. I'm not sure I've got any bullets left, so we'll see if we can fire some, but I guess I'll just talk about myself and we'll be right.
I think you've got plenty of the bullets in that case. So one of the best in the business, Jay-Z Clark, who does look a little bit more composed than this time last week, Jay. You were a sweaty mess last week.
Oh, I was. I was in caught in the Sydney humidity, it's fair to say, on a half an hour walk up to the ground at the SCG. So you called me out for that, but I'm a lot more cool this time around. Great to be here. Looking forward to this one. Not often do you hear the word embarrassed be trotted out in round zero. That's what Adam Uzay labelled his Tigers last week, and he says, look out in the first 10 minutes. So it's going to be interesting what the black and yellow produce tonight early.
It's good to see you on the linen tonight.
Oh, breathable.
We've had a change to our team for the Thursday Rub this week. Kate McCarthy is rested. It's certainly not form-related because she's a star, but a very nice substitute to have in as well, a 287 gamer, and he is one of the most dominant people in footy media. I speak, of course, of Joey Montagna. Joey, good to see you.
Hello, Jack. Izzy, Jay. It was slightly intimidating, wasn't it? Just having BT walk in at the back of the box and just stare us down off the top, but he's gone back to do his duties. You're right, Jay-Z. The round zero was a bit of an appetizer. It was all nice and it was cute to be up in Sydney and on the Gold Coast, but this is it now. It starts here, the MCG, full house tonight, Carlton, Richmond. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
You would have heard about Isaac Smith's debut, Joey. When you think about the great AFL debut,
couldn't avoid it. It was all over social media, everywhere.
Who comes to mind? When you think of who really burst onto the scene in the AFL, who comes to mind?
Well, the early ones. Rochelle kicked five on debut a couple of years ago. Sheasel. But you go back to Mickey Barlow or Mark McGough.
Juddy
burst onto the scene.
Scotty Cummings kicked 8 goals.
Did he? Yeah.
Up, I think.
It was one of those sort of performances, you reckon.
Adrian McAdam, 7 goals. Well, they've put Isaac Smith's commentary debut for Triple M on the Adrian McAdam, Chris Judd sort of level. If you weren't listening last week because you didn't give us stuff about round zero, well, take a listen to this. This is what you missed. Isaac Smith talking about himself. It will fit right in on Triple M with this sort of gear.
Is Danger flat with you about the Norm Smith? Has he got over the fact that the judges gave you the votes? Because he thought he was pretty handy in the premiership decider.
I don't know how he could be flat. I had 36 and kicked 3. And they were all in the first 3 quarters. Danger rocked up. It was 4th quarter. And he's had 10 touches and he wanted the Norm Smith. Go home, buddy.
Very good from Isaac. And normally when you put this stuff on social and you tag Paddy Dangerfield in, normally very good at a bit of banter, with a bit of back and forth. Radio silence from Patrick this week. So you could tell that he was absolutely flat as a biscuit. Gave it nothing. Did he call you, Isaac?
No, we talk daily, Pat and I. And we didn't talk for 48 hours.
So
it was the best 48 hours I've had in a while.
I heard that he did text someone, though, Danger, and said, I had more contested possessions in that first quarter than Izzy had for the whole season, and he's still trying to get the Norm Smith medal.
13 contested possessions.
Yeah, it was a big number.
But what do you think? He's sort of fit right in.
Well, I tell you, I do need to have a word to him off the top, Izzy, because it's nice to work with you the first time, but if you're going to come in, waltzing in and talk about your premierships and talk about your Norm Smith medals and bang on about all this sort of stuff, not only are you going to ruffle people like Danger, you're going to ruffle the Triple M family. Because first of all, there's a big number of us that haven't got a flag. There's a little salty club that get our backups really quick when someone comes in and talks about, I can't remember whether it was 2014 or 15 that I did this. And so we've got Nathan Brown and Luke Darcy and myself and Brian Taylor still bitter about getting dropped in 1990. And there's Bernie Vince. There's a whole bunch of us that haven't won one.
Billy.
So you're going to ruffle feathers there if you bang on about your premierships too much. Billy Brownless, of course.
Yep.
Then they've got some three-timers that are now getting their ruffles feathered. Now, not Chris Johnson, one of the all-time greats, because he's probably one of the most humble all-time legends in the competition. But the least humble of all that works with us on a Sunday,
yes,
the man who once Duck moved aside, he strutted in with his three flags and his Norm Smith, of course. We're talking about Stevie Johnson.
Yep.
Thinks he's the big dog in town. Mm-hmm. I've heard he's cut up rough. I've heard he's spoken to management and thought, hang on a minute, someone has come in that's got a better resume than me, and Stevie J is not happy.
More silverware.
More silverware. Got more to talk about. And not only that, he's got the 2008 grand final that he can really rub in to Stevie J. So just got to be careful, Izzy, if you bang on too much about these premierships.
Yeah, 3-1's cute.
Speaking of salty, though, Isaac, just a little tip. You sort of got to completely forget about 2010, 2011, or 2009, 2010. Joey doesn't like talking about those years.
Hawk smashed us in the 08 prelim, but you weren't there in 08.
Nah.
He came in a bit later than that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's right. But he's fit right in. He straight away talked a bit about me, going right off the bat. So good fun.
What did you say before? Ruffles feathered?
Ruffled. Did I?
Yes.
Ruffled.
Feathers ruffled.
Feathers ruffled.
Yeah. Feathers ruffled, sorry.
We might have to turn around. turn that
I think Leroy might already be doing it. The other thing that is interesting with Isaac is that, you know, when you're the new kid on the block, you generally just feel your way in and, you know, where would you like me to sit and anything you want me to do and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Did you get a car park pass for tonight?
No, I'm still waiting for my car park pass.
Jay-Z?
Are you kidding me? I've been here for 10 years. I haven't even seen one.
You don't get the car park pass.
My nice Nikes hit the grass when I got here this afternoon.
Surely the bloke that's been here for 1 minute didn't get a car park
pass. One car park pass available for tonight.
You haven't, is he? You've taken the car park pass. We fight so hard to try and work out.
You should be out there washing our cars, not parking our car.
To be honest, boys, I could probably give it back because they'll just let me in anyway.
Oh, you're right about the humbleness. Even just before we came on air, we're looking for drinks, and Izzy, new to the commentary box, like, do they have drinks in? They said, yeah, there's a drink fridge out there. And he said to the producer, Rabsy, do you mind when the Cokes come out, can you go get me one for the producer?
and Rabsy also got him his pass. Is that right? For this week, I don't think Isaac had a pass. Is that right? The producer, Rabsy, here sorted you out with one of them?
Now, that's why BT rolled in, because I've got my 3AW pass.
Right. Who's that?
Well, yeah, there's a bit of controversy behind that one. Because
I think more people are listening this time.
I think today reflected that.
That's going to be good fun.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, at what point with Isaac is it going to teeter between like confident and knob, Joey?
we always just toe the line really closely here at Triple M, but he'll fit right in, so it's going to be good fun.
How many years of football did you play, Isaac?
13 at AFL level.
And how many final series did you play?
Lots.
How many did you miss?
I reckon I missed two.
Out of
maybe three. Years. Two, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, a few. Lucky. Yeah.
It's a good run.
Extraordinary record.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good run. Jesse Motlop going to join us a little bit later on. I've got all the news with Jay-Z coming up shortly as well. Western Bulldogs are one to talk about. What are we expecting tonight, though? So, Jay, you mentioned embarrassed off the top, and it certainly the first half. If you go back and just watch the first half of Richmond, if you didn't watch the second half of that game, you would think, what in the world is going on? Now, it got better in the second half, there's no doubt, but it feels like there has to be a response tonight from Richmond, and we're only one game in.
I feel like Richmond fans come to the MCG tonight, Joey, feeling anxious. They've got a back line of Tyler Young and Josh Gipkus, maybe Noah Bolts if he goes back there, against Kerno and Mackay. And a midfield, Taranto, Matty Rowell had 20 clearances on Timmy Taranto last week. What's Patrick Cripps going
to
have?
To be fair, I think the Richmond fans, it couldn't get any worse in the first half last week. You could not play any worse than they did. So in some ways, I feel like they've got that out of their system. I think we all came into round zero thinking, what are we going to expect from Richmond? None of us knew.
Yep.
It looked to me like the playing group didn't even know what they were going to get. The coach didn't know. It was almost like they all sat back and said, how are we going to go here? And then it was almost at halftime was like, right, gee whiz, can we just go back and play football? And I reckon they got that out of their system, and they were much better in that third quarter. They kicked 7 goals straight. So I'm expecting a much more competitive performance tonight, a team that's on the same page, and I think they've got that little horrible 50-60 minutes of football out of the system.
Yeah, it was interesting. It felt like it was still another preseason game for them, and they've got their three best players coming back in tonight in Martin Lynch and Dan Curvis. So I think the players went in a little bit underprepared. And I know you don't want to say that, but it felt collectively like they just didn't rock up. So I'm really excited to see what they can deliver tonight. If they can win the midfield battle, they need to keep the ball out of their back line, then I think we can get a good game of footy. If Carlton win the midfield battle, then their forward line's just going to walk all over them, I think.
Are you saying that they didn't come to play last week, Isaac? Because I said that to Mick Malthouse, mate, at a press conference about 15 years ago, and I'm still in a fetal position from saying
what does come to play mean, Jay?
Just sit in the car park.
You know the worst as a player, when someone goes, you just didn't bring effort. Yeah. Like every week you brought effort. Yeah. It just might have not been good enough.
Not enough. So what happened to the Tigers last week?
They didn't bring effort.
That is something at some point I do want to pick your brains on, because that is Chris Scott's mantra. Chris Scott never, ever talks about effort as a coach. Yeah. I'm fascinated by that because he just thinks effort is a given.
Yeah.
Yet I had a coach in Ross Lyon who our whole meetings were about giving effort and different levels of effort and those sorts of things. So that is really interesting that you mentioned that. I'd love to know that the psyche around it about just presuming that players bring the same effort every single week.
Yeah, when we have a serious half an hour here, we'll pull it apart.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'm not sure when that's going to happen. We look forward to it. It is the Thursday rub. It is for Thirsty Camel. Just as a little refresher as we head to the break here, is Jay getting absolutely manhandled by Mick Mulvey.
You think your boys came to play today?
I reckon they probably come here thinking, no, we're going to have a real bad one today in the first quarter. What do you honestly think? That term, come to play, where does it originate from, and what do they reckon? They come to play marbles or football, or... do you think they didn't come to play? Do you think they sat in their cars waiting for the game to start and go out there?
Still scarred. Mum's still flat that he committed to ask like that.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
It's the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. Strong start to Jay-Z Clark, Isaac Smith, Joey Montagna, Jack Heveron. That is your Thursday call team. Luke Darcy to join us a little bit later on for the Tigers and the Blues in front of 90,000 at the Triple MCG. Jesse Motlop to join us a little bit later on as well. Just before we get to the news, Jay-Z, we went to DRS during the break. We were just unsure of something that we thought we heard in the first segment. Rock and roll it, please, Leroy.
Then they've got some three-timers that are now getting their ruffles feathered. Hey. No, I was a bit rattled by having a four-timer sitting next to me, and it just sort of threw me a little bit. Bit rusty.
Can I just say, in your defence, Joey, I mean, we're talking about what a superstar Isaac Smith is. Can I just, I was just doing some stats, like in the break, lots of research and stuff. In 2014, round 7, so St Kilda versus Hawthorn, the Hawks beat the Saints by 23 goals. So the Hawks destroyed you by 145 points. This must have been...
I remember that
through
game.
...the Scotty Waters era.
Yeah. I've tried to forget about it.
I'm kidding, Scott. I know you're listening. Now, but you did play in that game, Joey. And I've just done the stats. I've seen you had 39 touches, one goal, 20 contested possessions. And they talk about
12 clearances.
I'm getting to that, mate. He's right. He slipped me a note before.
Zero score involvement.
Yeah. So in a 145-point loss against Isaac Smith's Hawthorn, at the peak of the Hawthorn power, you've had 39-1, 20 contested possessions and 12 clearances. So you were flying the St Kilda flag on your own, mate.
Oh, I did. I took them on my own. That was the Hawthorn at their peak, 2014.
You must have played on each other.
23 goals we won by.
Yeah, 27 goals to 4.
Wow.
No, I must have played on ball that day. It wasn't out on a wing that day.
Well, you could have played in your back line.
A lot of kickouts.
Oh, going to be a lot of fun, Jack.
Yeah, everyone else is looking around. We're having fun. We don't care.
No, there are other boxes. You'll learn very quickly, Isaac. The other boxes are all very boring. Not as much laughter.
You made the right call, I think, Isaac. Fremantle, yes. Is there some news coming through this afternoon?
Some big news and some surprise news. So Justin Longmuir, we knew, is out of contract this year and was one of the most under-pressure figures in the game, along with Luke Beveridge and Simon Goodwin. But Justin Longmuir, it did really feel like he was on the chopping block, in a sense, if he couldn't lead the Fremantle Dockers up the list. Well, we can tell you tonight, he has just signed a one-year deal, Justin Longmuir, to stay at Fremantle for another season. So he will definitely coach throughout this season and then is contracted to coach Fremantle next year. Now, I'll get your reactions. I feel like this is a bit of a pressure reliever. It takes him through to next year, probably quietens the noise just a little bit. Isaac, I know it's only a one-year deal. It's not a long-term deal, but do you feel like this might just take some of the pressure off the players if there's not enough, if there's not as much sort of external chit-chat about the coach's future week in, week out?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. I think really good move to quieten some of that noise, but I think if you really want to dig deep and look into it as a player or a fan or someone who's looking from afar, that it probably doesn't quieten too much noise, to be honest.
You don't reckon?
Well, it's only 1 year. Usually when we're signing a coach, it's 3, 4, 5 years.
So you're seeing through it?
A little bit.
Yeah. It feels like...
Is it fair that he's under pressure because they don't play sexy football?
Well, my question, Joey, is that they finished 5th 2 years ago,
yep,
and then dropped to 14th.
Yep.
So that's a big fall, and I don't see...
So 1 year, they've had a dip, which can be happening for a lot of teams that have go through their stages. Melbourne did it before they won their flags. Richmond dropped away before they won their flags.
Yep.
It can happen.
But we want to see some offensive gears. They've been a solid defensive side for a long time. I think we've seen a lot of the successful teams show they can score. That's what we need to see from Freo.
They are a team that have stockpiled picks.
Yep.
I wonder at board level... strategically, exec level, the coaches, they know that they're a little further away. 2 years ago was a fair bounce, and they didn't expect that bounce. Oh. They thought they'd be tracking a little bit differently.
You thought they overachieved?
I think they overachieved. They're one of those teams that overachieved early. They've dipped and probably a bit below where they should have been, but not far. And I still think they're thinking they're 2, 3, 4 years away from where they want to be.
Well, they're the second youngest team, or the second least experienced team coming into this season. So they have stayed around the bottom four. So I think the only reason I say that is I think there is this negative approach towards Just Longmi because they don't play sexy football. Because when you compare, so everyone was saying Matthew Nix, just sign him up, he's on the right track. Adelaide have gone 4 wins, 7 wins, 8 wins, 11 wins, right? Heading in the right direction.
Yep.
Fremantle under Just Longmi have gone 7 wins, 10 wins, 15.5 wins. And then last year they won 10. So it was one less game than Adelaide. Mm. But because it went so much of a spike and then a dip, everyone thinks that they're heading in the wrong direction as opposed to an incremental increase. So I just think that the perception a little bit has been misconstrued in regards to the list profile. They're still really young. They've got a lot of talent. And I think Isaac's right. They had a big, probably an overachieve year to win a final when they were the third or fourth youngest team in the comp and then dropped away. And they were disappointing last year, but we've got to give them a fair chance this year to see where they go.
So what is it then? Are they... the fifth best team, the 14th best team, or are they somewhere
somewhere in the middle. They're not a top eight team at the moment. They're somewhere above 14th, I believe they should be. And I feel like they've done this contract not to necessarily silence what's going on, but more to go, well, here, you've got 18 months to show us what you can do with the list that where we thought it was going to be finals bound in 2 years' time. We want to be about there. So that's what I feel like they've done. I don't think it'll quieten any of the noise, though.
Do you know what they do? They are going to be very busy in trade time. They've got 3 first-round picks to load up, and with some big fish sort of available at the end of the year, types like Logan McDonald and Sydney, even Errol Goulden, you think Fremantle wouldn't be looking to load up on more young talent, more 18-year-old talent. You think they'd be looking to bring in some established personnel to help out that forward line or that midfield. I think they've got some flexible options there, so they'll be busy.
Only got a couple of minutes before we bring Jesse Motlop into the conversation. We'll get back to the Bombers and the Bulldogs before we finish up with you, Jay-Z. Teams are starting to filter through.
Yep.
Are you expecting anything major to drop in the next 5 or so minutes?
Well, a great story down at Geelong, I think, is going to be confirmed if it hasn't been already, and that is that Sean Manner will debut for the Cats against the Saints. Like, what a story this is. I think he's 26 years old, tried for so many years throughout the VFL, starred in the grand final last year with 6 goals, 27 possessions. They lost that game, taken at pick 36. Do you know much about his story, Isaac? I mean, this is a big show of faith from the Cats to bring him into the club in the first place, but now to wheel him out, a mature age body against the Saints in round one.
Nah, nothing.
I sort of got that look on me.
I can give a little bit.
How old were you when you got drafted?
22.
22.
No, I was sort of taking the P155 there, Jay, but he's going to wear number 7, so good number.
Harry Taylor?
Isaac.
Harry Taylor.
I love his story, and I love how it's come about, and I love that Geelong have taken a risk at going to try and pick an older player. It might not work out, but from all reports, Sean over the summer has done a fantastic job, and the playing group have got huge trust in what he can deliver. So that only entices younger players who aren't at AFL level to stay in the game at the highest level for a longer period of time to get these opportunities. And I think it's exciting, not only for the Geelong Footy Club, but the footy world.
You know my take, big rap on him. I really like him. I think he'll impact straight away. He's ready to go. And I love the courage again of Geelong. It's typical Geelong, isn't it? They are still stockpiling some young talent for the future, but at the same time, they are staying relevant and competing right now. And I think he adds to the team. So well done and good luck to him.
Some other big selection news just coming through. Tommy Mitchell, the premiership on-baller, out for Collingwood. Managed. Is he managed or dropped? They're officially saying managed. Jack McRae left out of the Bulldogs has been speculated for the past 48 hours. We'll have a look at Caleb Daniel and Jaden Laverty out for the Bombers as well. So some big changes, some big calls there early on in the season.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
The MCG looks a treat. Great night for footy as the Tigers take on the Blues. This is the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. JZ Clark, Joey Montagna, Isaac Smith and Jack Heverin. Luke Darcy to join us a little bit later on. And those joining us across South Australia, welcome as well. There's been plenty going on already. We're going to talk about the Western Bulldogs a little bit later on and the Bombers. Plus, Isaac Smith got us wondering about some of the best free stuff that he got when he was a player last time around. So we're going to talk about that before we finish up as well. But for the Blues, couple of injuries that they would love to have out there tonight. One of them is Jesse Motlop, who joins us in the Triple M box. Jesse, thanks for being up here. How are you tracking?
Yeah, going well. Thanks for having me, boys. Just got a turf toe at the moment, so hopefully back in, hopefully for the next game. But we'll see how we go.
I've never had turf toe. Is it quite painful? Remember Aaron Sanderland's had it for a long time. Is it like a bruise inside the joint? Can you explain turf toe?
Oh, to be honest, you probably know more than me, but it was painful.
He just says I got a sore foot, and then they diagnose
it. I got a sore toe, and then they say it's turf toe.
Can you kick on that foot, for example?
Oh, I can. I'm not supposed to, but yeah, it's really just the toe, more so sprinting and stuff like that. Usually when it flexion. So,
do you get a cortisone? Do you get a needle in the foot?
Nah, I didn't. Nah. If I did, I think I'd be playing. But, yeah, I think they just wanted to let it heal, and it's a long season, obviously, so let it recover properly.
You must have been wrapped with the performance last week. They're down by 46 points. I thought, good night, nurse. The Lions could run away. Yeah, even you must have been a little bit doubtful at that stage.
A little bit. We were still paying attention, just watching the individual performances at that time. But then the boys started turning around, so it was a pretty crazy feeling. There's about six of us at my house, and we're all just going off when Harry took the mark, and then obviously he finished it as well.
Who was there?
There was all the young boys, so Ashton Moyer, Rob Monaghan, Harry Lemmy, Hudson O'Keefe, and Jack Carroll because he was playing, and Corey Durden.
And you all had faith. You all knew Harry was going to kick it, didn't you? You all said he's got this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We've been watching him do it all preseason. Yeah. He's been kicking well.
And what was the wash up? What did Vossi focus on in the review that pleased the coaches the most from that performance?
The big thing was probably a positive, and that was 120 minutes of footy, and that's probably been one of our key focuses over pre-season. And obviously there's a few things we need to fix up for the first half, which we went over. So yeah, 120 minutes of footy, and boys got the job done.
Yeah, enough about how good you were last week. We've been having a debate off air up here. Who's the best Motlop?
You got a few. So explain. Yeah. So your dad, Daniel, played. Yeah, he was a star. We played against Daniel. I did, certainly. So, and then you've got three uncles that all played as well.
Yep. So Shannon, Stephen, Marlon. Yep. And then there's dad, Daniel. I say dad's the best. My granddad, which is their father, I've heard him on record say dad's the best as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think Stephen had the best career. But Shannon's got the premiership, so it's an even spread. But hopefully by the end of my career, I can say I was the best.
Well, you got a taste for finals last year. Just talk us through that experience for you. You'd only played 20 or 30 AFL games, still a youngster making your way. How did that feel, like a prelim and playing in that massive final against Melbourne where you kicked a couple of really important goals? That must have been a buzz that you're now just craving that feeling again.
Oh, yeah. Like, you just want to be straight back out there. We're lucky enough at Carlton. We get big crowds fairly often, and especially since I've been at the club, it's been probably a more successful time, and we've probably been exposed to, I guess, the 80,000 plus a lot more often. So, yeah, I think everyone wants that feeling, and to kick a few goals is always nice.
It's an interesting one because they have been down for a few years, the Blues. Can you kind of feel that now, that even the supporters get the sense that everything's turning and that good times are hopefully not that far away?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely that. I guess, sense of expectation, and they're all so passionate. You can hear them every week at the G, and even away at the Gabba last year when we played in the prelim, it's probably a 50-50 split. So, yeah, they're all craving it. We're craving it as well. So hopefully it's there soon.
Jesse, we got sick of writing about the camping session down at Tatali. Yeah. You went for nude.
You're the one that was obsessed. You were the one that was obsessed with it. You wanted to know who was nude that got into the water. That was your obsession.
How did you hear about that?
I think we had Ed, was it Ed Curnow told us or Charlie? One of the boys told us.
I can't remember.
Yeah, someone.
Maybe yeah. Ed. Anyway, that was all fun. So what did you do? Did you do something similar over summer? Did you go 10-pin bowling or did you go down to the beach to you do some other special thing?
Not really, to be honest. I think we went to dinner down at Ligon a couple of weeks ago, which was...
That's a surprise.
So 100 metres from home.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully not nude.
Yeah, there was no nude.
That's what Jay really wants to know.
You just want to know who did it, didn't you? Nah, but yeah, we literally just had pizzas, maybe a few nude swims, and that was it. I guess we just simplified what we really wanted to do out on the field.
Who have been your mentors? Who have you latched onto that have guided you through your first couple of years of career that have been super for you?
I'd be rude to leave my housemates out, Jack Carroll and Corey Durden, who are out there tonight, and they've been my biggest supports easily. I think just they're a year older than me, and they had that year on me, so... they showed me the ropes and showed me the way, and yeah, they're my best mates at the club easily. And there's been a lot of boys at the club that have helped me out as well, such as Zach Williams, and yeah, it's so good to see him back out there as well.
Speaking to Jesse Motlop, young star for the Blues, my heart sank, Jesse, when the news came through. I think it was last Saturday. Sammy Doherty did his knees, his third time. We know a lot about the resilience he's shown through his cancer fight. You know, he's obviously had the knees as well. It must have really flattened the group.
Yeah, I suppose it was a big shock to the footy world and obviously to us as well. And we all just got around the family and Doc himself as well. And before we knew it, he was back in the club the other day and still talking smack and just back to his normal self. So he's obviously a great leader and he'll be around for the whole season, no doubt.
Isaac, what sort of impact can that have on a group when a beloved figure like that is out for the year? How do you deal with it? How do you process it? How do you overcome it?
Yeah, well, it can bring your club together. And depending on what Sam's able to do once he gets through the surgery and starts going into his rehab, he'll be able to mentor guys like, well, if you ever need any advice about finals. You look back to the Western Bulldogs when they won it and Robert Murphy wasn't able to play, but yep. He's the spiritual leader of that club. And what Sam obviously didn't start his career at Brisbane, but what he's been able to do since he got to Carlton and galvanise that group, and with Paddy Cripps and a couple of others, and the improvement we've seen and how they've hung in there. I was genuinely shattered for Doc the other day.
Yeah, and we all were.
Yeah, it'd be nice if Carlton could put a pretty good season together, and Sam has an impact on that.
Jesse, before we let you go, what tickles your fancy outside of footy? Young bloke with a bit of a presence around town, what do you get up to?
Do you still do a bit of movie producing? Are you doing some movies or something along those lines?
I stopped that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think
much footy.
I came to the real world and got a bit lazy and started playing too much Fortnite. So.
The real world. Yeah.
Are you in the family business?
I'm not at the moment.
They haven't let you in?
Apparently you got to look over 25 or something, so I'm waiting a couple more years and hopefully I'll be
there. How's it all going?
Yeah, it's going well. Obviously the Green Ant Gin and... obviously a few more drinks as well, so it's all flying at the moment. Dad and all the uncles are looking after it.
Would have done well in lockdown.
Very good.
Might be worth getting a little delivery.
So hopefully next week you're going to play. You'll be hoping to be available for selection next week.
Well, we got the bye next week.
Oh, yeah.
And then North after that. So
beautiful.
That's the plan.
Jesse, thanks for coming up. Appreciate your time. We'd love to see you out there tonight, but good to see that you're going to be back sooner rather than later.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
It's the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. We're at the MCG, the Tigers and the Blues. No change for tonight as well. The subs are Mansell and also Corey Durden for the two respective teams. Jay-Z Clark, Joey Montagna, Isaac Smith and Jack Heverin. We're not going to see the Bulldogs until Sunday, Jay. But it does feel like there's a lot of interest in this team and there's been a lot spoken about them in the off-season.
Fascinating game, isn't it? Melbourne versus the Bulldogs. The D's wouldn't want to start the season 0-2 because then the Bunsen burner would really fire up. They were average in that second half against Sydney last week up in Sydney. We looked to bounce back. They got some players back, and Simon Goodwin has made some changes. So Adam Tomlinson out, Jake Bowie out with the shoulder, Josh Shackey gone, and Charlie Spargo also out injured. Colton Falstrip named on an extended bench there. So clearly going to be a few changes. They get Kasiah Pickett back, which is a massive change. At the Western Bulldogs, we're waiting to find out about Caleb Daniel. He's named on an extended bench. Jack McRae gone. Bevo's gone for his new players. How are you reading this game, fellas? I don't know whether the Western Bulldogs are going to win the flag or finish 10th. What do you think, Isaac?
I really like this game. I think this is the game of the round. And there'll be a few new stories come out of this game, whether it goes either way. The Bulldogs, I really like what they've got. Midfield and forward are setter. Their back line is probably where they're going to struggle a little bit. And I don't necessarily subscribe to the conversation around they've got one of the best lists in the comp. I think they're still middle of the pack with what they've got. They've obviously got, in my eyes, probably the best player in the game. And they've got two unbelievable forwards. But I still don't believe they've got the best side in the comp. And I still think they're trying to work a few things out as well. So I think it's a fascinating game. I think they can win this game and win it by 3 or 4 goals. Melbourne's the big watch in this game.
What do you mean by that? You got your doubts on the D's, don't you?
Yeah, I just think I really like the D's. And if they can put it together, they're one of the best sides in the comp. With Brayshaw going out, there's probably a little bit of depth missing in the midfield. And the way the game's being played at the moment with this transition game, teams using the middle of the ground, scoring quickly, you need key forwards that can rip games apart. And we saw that with Carlton last weekend. And they just don't have that.
The Bulldogs are fascinating because Bevo's always changed the team around. It's been a bit of a knock. But then coming into this year, it sort of feels like they need to do something different. They can't just keep doing the same thing. But like Isaac's right, when you look at their team that they've got listed at the moment, like their back, so Lachie Bramble is in the team,
yep,
who was out of favour at Hawthorn.
Yep.
Nick Caulfield's going to play, a new recruit who has had troubles at St Kilda, but never really sort of reached the heights they were hoping as a top 10 draft pick. They've got Buku Kamis in the squad. And then they've got Harms has come in, Harvey Gallagher, who was a late draft selection, going to make his debut, Riley Sanders at first round pick. But so there's a lot of change already to this team from previous years. So you're right, it's hard to know what you're going to get with this Western Bulldogs side. They could come out and be 6-0 to start the season, or there could be real pressure on them and be 2-4. So they are going to be a watch. I don't know. I'm still sticking fat with Melbourne on the flip side. I'm pretty bullish on them. I still think they'll be okay, but they wouldn't want to lose this one and go zipping two.
Forward connection, the forward conversion is a problem. Simon Goodwin, the press conference afterwards, said it didn't really think it was a factor.
It wasn't in the Sydney game. That Sydney game was horrible conditions. The forward was an issue for both teams.
29 entries, Joey. They kicked 1-8. How do you expect Melbourne fans to be sitting on the couch?
Well, 1-8, so that's 9 shots from 29 entries. That's not too bad.
They're going to kick it through the...
Nah, so that's different, a connection. So there's two different elements. I agree with you. Composure and finishing is one thing. Connecting with your forwards is another thing. I think they have worked on it. I think you'll see a completely different Melbourne team on Sunday.
They played the boundary lot at the SCG last weekend. They got stuck 10 metres from the boundary. And if you go to the SCG, you cannot do that. You cannot win a game at the SCG if you can't move the ball through the middle of the ground. So in turn, then their shots came outside the 45-degree angle that it's hard to explain on radio, but 45 degrees outside of the inside of the ground, if we're explaining that properly, that's where all their shots came from, and you're just not going to kick straight from there. Their connection, it still wasn't great.
But the SCG those conditions, yeah, that's, I think you've got different. To give them a bit of a pass. I think we've got to see them on a beautiful Sunday afternoon here at the MCG, and then we can make a bit more of a decision about whether they have changed their ball movement and connection.
Howie Petty comes back and Kasiah Pickett back.
A couple of handy ones for them. To the Bombers, enjoyed your article on Sunday, Jay, with Brad Scott.
Yep.
Where are they at? So they're a really hard one to try and get a read on because they seem as if they want to be trying to temper expectations and slow everyone down. Then you've got one of the greats like Matthew Lloyd saying they should be playing finals. Why are they not playing finals?
Lloydie said they should burn down Windy Hill if they don't make that. I think they're no chance of playing finals this year. I think they've got a Zach Reid, a new centre-half back who's played on the 8 games. And Brad Scott said in that interview, we're going to really give the keys or give the big opportunity to their 3rd to 5th year players. It's Perkins, Hobbs, Caldwell, Jones, all these sort of young players. Now, the controversial sort of part of this was his reference to the eight-year window, really. So by that, he means it's going to take us probably a couple of years to build to get that chance for the top four, but then he wants that big, fat, sweet spot where they can build a core of young players who, along with the free agents, can get together and have a good 4 or 5 year crack at it at Essendon. Because when he looked back on history, he thought Essendon was all over the place, up and down the roller coaster ride. He wants to build a big core of good young players, and once Jones and Perkins and Hobbs have played 50 to 100 games, then they can start to really blossom and develop. But does it take the sizzle out of the players' sausage, fellas, when the senior coach is tempering expectations like that, saying, "Yeah, it's going to take us time, etc." Because your coaches, Isaac, were shooting for the moon every single year.
Yeah, but when I was at Hawthorn, they could shoot for the moon because we had the team. And then when I got to Geelong, they could shoot for the moon as well. I really like what Brad Scott's doing, and I really like what Essendon are doing. I feel like, and I don't know the Essendon Football Club at all, I only know it from afar, but I feel like their board is now aligned with their CEO and their senior coach, where previously I didn't feel that from afar. And I feel like they're all tracking on the same path together. And what Brad Scott came out and said, I believe, is the right thing.
And I'm on the same page. I think I get what he was trying to say, because to be to win a flag, you need to have a sustained period of being a top four contender. You don't just go, we're going to be in 3 years' time's our year that we're going to try and win a flag. Like, people do that. Every club does that, and it's ridiculous. You've got to have a window, as you said, where you are a contender, and then you need a bit of luck in prelims and all that. So it makes sense. And my approach with, or thoughts with Brad Scott, is hadn't the approach been at Essendon for years that they always hyped up their expectation? Yep. The fans and the board demanded they were going to win a flag every year, and everyone was like, stop talking yourselves up. Stop. So now Brad Scott's gone with hey, this is going to take a bit of time. It's not a one-year fix. Let's just build it and do it properly. And now they're getting shot down for having a tempered expectation. You can't win either way.
Well, I think a team we're watching tonight was very similar for 10, 15 years.
Can you smell what the Blues are?
Yeah,
cooking? Yeah, yeah. But that was coming out.
Type of one. That was the slogan.
I'd forgotten about that.
That was. Yeah.
But that was year after year after year after year. Now they've finally got a side that can challenge top four. That doesn't necessarily guarantee you a spot in the grand final or a spot at winning a premiership, but it guarantees you a chance to be there. And I really like how Carlton have gone about it the last 3 or 4 years.
We mentioned the Pies then. Interesting selection change after only one game. Tom Mitchell, the premiership on baller, out for Collingwood. And Finlay McRae has been knocking down the door, Joey, for a good 12 months. He gets his chance up against the Swans. Do you like this? And is it alarm bells for Tommy Mitchell?
Well, slightly, because there's now a youngster that's going to have an opportunity to take a similar spot. So they're similar sorts of players. They do their best work in close and in the contest. And maybe if there is the knock, it's that spread and that outside run. But Finn McRae, all the talk throughout pre-season was that he was burning the house down. So he gets his chance, and Tom Mitchell will have to sit and wait.
Johnny Noble's going to be the sub. And also some other news out of Collingwood. Nathan Murphy continues to take some positive steps in his concussion. Jeff Brown, the president, has come out and said, we had a meeting with him, with his parents. We got the tick off from the AFL. We got the tick off from our own club doctors. But we want to be even extra cautious than that. So it is an incredibly cautious approach Collingwood's taking with Nathan Murphy. He started doing some slight contact drills, but now the feeling is that he'll continue to train for 5 or 6 weeks. Series of other reassessments will come in, so we may not see Nathan Murphy until after round 6. From the backline perspective last week, they say his football intelligence back there with his covering off of the other forwards, etc., is really important to the way that works. So they missed him last week against GWS. But this is the new era of concussion and clubs being just as cautious as possible.
And even players. Nathan Murphy said that he's happy to take his time with this one, hasn't he? Yeah, he's in no rush whatsoever.
On the back of the Angus Brayshaw retirement, of course, Melbourne watching this so closely, or they're heavily involved in discussions really with the AFL around how much of his money, and this is fascinating, will count in the salary cap. It's about $3 million that he's owed. So how much of that should count in Melbourne's salary cap? You speak to some clubs, they say, well, none at all, because it's just an injury. Marcus Adams, for example, Brisbane had to pay all of his money inside the cap. How much will Melbourne get out of it? Because that's a huge swing, isn't it, Joey? Yeah. Like, what if all of a sudden they're just blessed with another $3 million in their salary cap over the next 5 seasons? That means they can go out and recruit more. So AFL clubs watching that negotiation particularly closely.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.
It's the Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. You can camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals. And, of course, drink responsibly. Luke Darcy to join us very shortly. The Chew Man will be in the house. Nat Yanides on the boundary as well for the call of the game tonight. But last week in Isaac Smith's very first initiation here on the Thursday rub, we got him to put together a bit of a list, Jay, of the stuff that he's going to miss most from playing footy.
He said the last time he got out his wallet was 2007. It's the last time he's paid for something.
So it did actually get us wondering a little bit about some of the best free stuff that Isaac Smith has got during his journey as a star, of course, with the Hawks and the Cats. Do you want to take us through some of the best stuff?
Yeah, well, I guess there's a few things, and Joey can probably jump in here because he was a Bayside bandit, and I'm sure they got looked after. But, you know, you go from haircuts. You know what you do. You like 10 a.m., you'd book in your haircut, you'd go and get a haircut, and then you'd roll into a cafe and you'd get a free lunch, and then you'd go and get a free dinner, and then you decide to go out, you get a few free beers that night, and then the next day you sobered up, you need to drive home, you'd be in your free car. Then you wanted to go on a holiday and you get free flights. Then you land, you get free accommodation. So there's been some good things over the times that, you know, you didn't have to pay for. But I reckon the best thing that I ever got, which I reckon I'll probably still get a fair bit, and you don't have to pay for it, it's definitely free, was the advice I got in my career.
What was the most random bit? Who gave you the most bizarre bit of advice? Like,
it's hard to say, and Joey will be able to jump in on this, but the average punter, you'll go down and say the day of a big game, and you're going to, I don't know, buy the newspaper or buy a coffee, and I can't fathom how they even get to it, but for somehow they think they can give you advice on what you need to do on that day. And like, you think it'd only happen once, but you'd be in the car park of the supermarket and then you'd get it. Now, last year, I'd have my kids. I'd have two of them hanging off me in the supermarket, and someone would still want to give me advice how I played that week or what I need to do this week. So, no, it's very funny. I loved the banter, and a lot of the banter I used to get was out on the outer wing of the MCG because everyone used to say I played that wide. I was pretty much in the grandstand. So.
Yeah. You know, and the free advice was always pretty simple, wasn't it? It was always just, why are you going sideways and around? Just kick it forward. Kick it down to Rewald. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good advice.
Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was always pretty straightforward.
Right. We're working 70 hours a week and we can't come up with that. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
I'll let Scotty know.
Joey, along the way, is any...
I swear I never got anything for free.
Really?
I promise. I hardly got anything. I never, ever got... there was old poor Joey. No marketability about Joey. I was trying to rack my brain. I swear I got nothing. The only best thing we got, we were sponsored by Pura Milk for a while, St Kilda. We had a fridge where we had stocked up with milk, so you could take some milk home. That was about it. You know what? There's true story.
That's exciting.
True story.
Thank God I didn't get drafted to St Kilda.
True. At one stage, if we need another pair of socks and shorts, we went through a stage we had to pay for them. They came out of our pay. This is a true story about Aaron Hamill, right? So we had all these milks in the fridge, so you could take one home if you needed some milk.
Yeah.
Aaron Hamill used to take like five or six milks and use them as contra and swap them for DVDs at the DVD shop.
Oh, that's what he used
to try and get some freebies, some of those tight asses. But I couldn't think of anything. No, I never got anything for free.
Didn't Rui have a milk story? Didn't they have something weird with the milk you were saying once? Do you remember that?
Is it?
That's an off-air story. No, I don't have any joke. I got no idea what you're talking about.
Should you have checked that one first?
Come on, Jay-Z.
Mate, we did DSL for 6 years together. I forget his stories.
Nah.
I got a free trip to Abu Dhabi once to cover the Blues, but I like stayed in this little plush accommodation, like one of those palaces, hang out with the Blues, and do all these good. Did a good story on Brett Ratten when he needed to make the top four, and all the players, Bryce Gibbs, and all that. I did a story on Sean Hampson. He had to have laser eye surgery, right? Because the Blues worked out he couldn't see properly. Because remember, he kept dropping those marks on Friday night under lights and kept sort of symbols that hit the ground. What's going on, Sean? You take these marks. They go, well, go in there for an eye test. So he goes in there for an eye test. Works out like he can't see at night time. So he has some laser. I got a scoop here. What a story here.
So have you written some articles for freebies?
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a free trip, but it's working the whole time.
You're right. I did have to work. Right, so I got back to the Herald Sun. I wrote this big back page story. Sean Hampton can see now. He
can take these marks. He's had his eyesight fixed. I thought, this is not a bad yarn. Next day, Mark Stevens says to me, that's the worst back page story I've ever read in the Herald Sun. Sean Hampson's laser eye surgery.
Did it fix his marking?
I think it was a sharp improvement. And Sean's a big fan of the show, so that is
I think the other thing here that I just want to explore is what Isaac asked, and there's, when have you written stuff, Jay, yeah, in exchange for invites or other?
Oh, we're going to need a good hour. No, fiercely.
Because I feel like you can be bored.
Fiercely into.
Jay doesn't want to end up on Media Watch next Monday, so he's saying nothing.
You can just picture the guy's voice. Yeah. Real funny.
I'll be tuning in at 9:25.
Everything.
Have you ever ended up on Media Watch?
Oh, maybe once.
Did you?
It's another story, that one.
Oh, we've got time.
What about you? Have you received anything?
Absolutely nothing.
No.
Why would anyone want to give me...
No car or anything? Nothing. No.
Free haircut?
I am open to a Mr. Sheen sponsorship.
Didn't you get some sort of car deal?
Paid for it. Just got a little discount.
A little discount.
Courtesy of Merv Hughes. I can't believe I'm stuck.
Isaac, just look, when your hairdresser does cut your hair for free, well, how do you leave it? That's awkward, isn't it? Surely it's like, it costs $25. What are you saying? They say, oh, don't worry about that, Isaac.
That is the most awkward thing. When you get something for free, you don't know if you're getting it for free. They don't know if they're giving it. And you can't leave. You're there for 10 minutes. You're having some conversation about nothing.
You give them a hug on the way out.
So is it a hug or a handshake? How do you actually leave it at the end?
Oh, it all depends who it is, I guess.
Yeah.
Poor old Joey. I feel a bit sorry.
No, I was trying to think. Nothing.
Hey, before we let you go, Jay-Z,
yes.
Cbus Super weekend prediction. Cbus Super making hard work payoff since 1984.
Yep.
What do you think is the biggest story to come out of this weekend?
Oh, yeah, I think the Melbourne Bulldogs game is absolutely massive. And I wouldn't want Essendon to drop against Hawthorn. How does Essendon deal with some expectation? This is a game they should win, so I think they need the 4 points in that one. My prediction is I think Toby Green kicks 8 goals against a decimated North Melbourne backline. You have a look at that North Melbourne backline, Joey. There's Toby Pink there. There's Callan Dawson there. Toby Green might end up on Colby McKercher in his debut or something like that. So I think Toby Green, the GWS Giants, could have a fill-up against the Kangaroos.
The Triple M Footy Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Camel on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good deals. Drink responsibly.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.